Hi, everyone. Today, you're listening to the Common Thread podcast with Mary Ellis Perez and Isaac Word. Today, we're going to be talking about the College of Communication, the culture, the work ethic, as well as what it truly means to be part of a publication here at BU.
Hello, guys. So today, I am joined with Zoe Allen, the one and only. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Zoe Allen, you might know her. She's like the queen of calm. I feel like she's always doing something, and like it really shows. But yeah, Zoe, we go way back to Calm 101.
We do. Oh my gosh, Calm 101, what a time.
I know. Did Calm 101 really like affect your decision or like how you thought about like going into Calm for the rest of your college career?
I mean, I would say it didn't affect my decision. So it was broken up into the three units of advertising, like journalism and film and TV. Mm-hmm. And for me, I guess because I had taken not journalism classes, but I had been on the staff of my newspaper in high school for 4 years, all of it seemed pretty intuitive to me. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it sort of reaffirmed that I knew what I was doing, but it was also like a little bit boring, I would say. I know other people had similar sentiments, but at the same time, it was sort of a necessary process because there definitely are people who are like really interested in journalism, but haven't had the training because their schools don't offer classes or don't have a newspaper. They just decided that's something they would be interested in. So I think Comm 101 was like reaffirming some of it. Yeah, I have thoughts about Comm 101, but I feel like everyone does. And so we can talk about that, or we don't have to. But
yeah, no, I definitely think everyone who's taken it has some thoughts.
Yeah.
But I know for a lot of people, it changed their course in Comm. So
yeah.
I didn't know like how that really affected you going into Comm. But you said that you had worked on publications before. And so it was just kind of like a reaffirming thing for you. And you knew what was going on, like somewhat. So could you tell me like all the publications you're on currently and like have been on?
Yeah. So in high school, I was on the staff of my newspaper, and then I was executive editor my senior year with my best friend and boss. My like really good friend Joe was the editor in chief. We were all super close. It was definitely the best decision I made in high school. And to think like in middle school, I was maybe not going to do it to be in choir, mm-hmm. which was, I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, in high school, I started just sending, I was really inspired by this publication that's now doesn't exist called Rookie Magazine. A lot people may have heard of it. It had like a really big impact on me, I think early teens through when I was like 16, 17. And I really, really wanted to be published on it. And I never was. So I would always send them my stuff, almost never heard back. But people like Petra Collins, who's a really famous photographer, she like does every Gucci campaign now, just all these like really now famous people. Rowan Blanchard did a bunch of stuff for it. And to feel like I was kind of a little bit trying to aim out of my league. But through that, I was able to find other publications that were more within my realm of cracking into. One of them was Crybaby Zine, which was based in like New Jersey, right outside New York City at the time. It's now based in LA. I started writing for them, and then the story editor decided she didn't want to do her job anymore. And the editor-in-chief, Remy, asked me my junior year if I wanted to be the story editor. I said yes. It's been such a great experience. I've gotten to talk to so many people for interviewing, write so many cool things, just meet a really cool community. I mostly edit stuff for them, and we try to put out a print magazine once or twice every year. Last issue, it was the Obsession issue with Ravina. This issue is our Recycle issue. I don't know if we've officially announced our cover artist. We've done like the cover shoot, but so Crybaby is like a huge thing for me. Adolescent Content's another one. I write for them and they pay, which is super nice. Okay. I think as a college student or even high school college student, you kind of convince yourself that you don't need to be paid or... Like, I would always email Rookie or anywhere. I used to, like, send my writings to, and I was like, I just want to be published. Like, I don't care if you pay me. I just want to be published.
Yeah.
But I think as you as you move out and you start living on your own, I'm like, yeah, I really do want to be paid for my work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write for the Daily Free Press sometimes, occasionally. But I've gotten to do some really cool stuff for them this year with Netflix and films. And I'm the creative director of Off the Cuff, which is BU's fashion magazine, which has been like the best part of my college experience so far. That I think is most of it.
Yeah. Wow. That was a lot. Like, I'm not kidding when I say she's the queen of comm. But ironically, none of those publications are like BU publications.
Yeah.
Like, all of these are outside of comm.
Yeah. Freep is the only, like, sort of comm bait. Like, obviously, there's a ton of journalism majors who do it, but I'm not super involved with Freep. Yeah. So I think it's funny that you call me the queen of comm because I, like, actually don't associate that much with comm. Like, I love communications, but BU, like, comm extracurriculars I'm not super involved with, even though I think everything that, like, BU TV 10, like, all the primary coverage last night, like, it's an insane job that people do.
Yeah.
And, like, it is. And I just, there's so many things I would want to do. I just would stretch myself way too thin if I did all of them.
Yeah. Like I told you earlier, there's a lot of comm kids who are kids. We're not kids. We're in college. But there's a lot of students in comm who have sort of doubts about, you know, the content they're creating in college and, like, the consumption of it and how that, like, how those doubts or, like, hopes, fears, whatever, how they're manifesting and, like, how they're affecting those students for the future. So it sounds like you've had a lot of success and, you know, you're writing stories that you're getting paid for. Would you say students don't necessarily need to rely on their college to sort of explore these outlets? Or do you think it's the students' responsibility to venture out and find, like, other outlets for their content?
I mean, I think to not take advantage of BU's resources would probably be a shame. Obviously we're in this super nice studio right now recording a podcast. And if we walk 10 feet down the hallway, there's these super nice recording studios here in comm. People, I think especially for broadcast, it might be really hard to, like, dip your toes in somewhere else. But like I said before, I never heard back from, like, the one publication that I was dying to hear back from. And I think the most important part is probably just sending everything out and not being afraid of, like, the rejection. Something that I can be super insecure about, and I know a lot of other artists are maybe not necessarily insecure, but can be frustrated by, is, like, on social media, when you post a picture of yourself with your friends, maybe out at, like, a party, can rack up a ton of likes, and then you share your art and suddenly you're not getting the feed. Sometimes you're not getting that same feedback.
Yeah.
So I think social media can also be, can get inside your head in a way about the value of your art. I have access to, like, Off the Cuff's Instagram, and the Off the Cuff Instagram doesn't show likes anymore. But mine still does, like, my personal one still does.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't see likes, because I'm, like, not afraid to admit it. I do get insecure about that. I think most people do to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I would be way less hesitant to share more of what I'm doing if people couldn't tell that I wasn't getting the same feedback as some of my other stuff. That's for me. I guess at the end of the day, there's nothing you can really do except for continue to share it. But it definitely can be a really disheartening experience to not hear back, to not feel like your content's reaching a big enough audience. But I guess there's also just value in, like, having clips to, like, show people when you leave college, like, I did all of this. So I think BU is, like, a really good way to get content, get stuff under your belt, so when you do go out into the real world, you have that. You have a resume that's, like, filled with all the stuff you did. But maybe, like, now, if you want to have that instant gratification, it could be worthwhile to kind of move your content to other places. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think there's like a recurring theme with other people I've talked to about this topic and other people in my class. Definitely, I think everyone's reached a consensus that it's a necessary evil. It's not really evil though. Like, it's what we want to do. Yeah. To get in that experience and like learn the processes and to create, because that is something we can bring up in the future. Like, if I create a reel, you know, no one saw it. I didn't do it for like people's consumption, but like I can bring that up and show them what I've learned, mm-hmm. like a future employer. But definitely the things we create, we don't just create it to create it. We want it to be consumed and we want feedback and we want to grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely sort of like some sort of paradox there. Like, it's like we want to create, we want to learn. We also want some sort of feedback, like a satisfaction.
Validation.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely validation. So yeah. What do you think on that?
I completely agree. I think it's a paradox where you're going back and forth about what you should be investing your time in, what you should be creating, what you should be sharing, and maybe there's like too much thought that ends up being put into it and not enough action. I don't know. Sometimes like I care more about sharing something that I've done than creating it.
Yeah.
Which obviously is not the way that I should be creating things. It shouldn't be creation to share. It should be creation to create. And I think that's because also we as like college students, sophomores in college, just college students, people our age, there is so much telling us to be constantly productive.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I equate so much of my happiness with how productive I've been.
Yeah.
And like when I haven't been productive for a day, I'll just be like, well, I didn't do anything. And then that it just kind of spirals from there. And a lot of my friends, because I do a lot, are like, you're so productive all the time. Even when you say you're not being productive, you're being productive, which is like kind of like this negative cycle for me, because then I'm like, oh, I really have to be productive now.
Yeah.
I think our best work probably comes from when we're being creative to be creative and not being creative to get reels or to get clips or to get like to be productive or just to be like, check something off, like I did this today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super hard to slow down and do that in college. One of like my main qualms, I feel like, with Calm or like the Freep is sometimes it feels like they don't also know that you're a college student and have all these other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a journalism class right now, and I feel like sometimes they like think you can just drop everything to go get a story. Mm-hmm. Which is like, yeah, if I am actually a journalist in 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not in five classes, like of course I'll be able to do that. So I love that like in Calm it's so hands-on and they're treating you like you are already kind of in the position that you want to be in 5 years, but at the same time it is like all like kind of crushing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else has talked to you about that or if you feel that at all, but in journalism, yeah. I think it definitely is like there's this expectation that you will put the story above all else.
Yeah. No, yeah, I definitely think that has also been in that general consensus. Because Calm does want you to be a professional. They do want you to like sort of drop everything in the way.
But I really value that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It just sometimes I'm like, I really can't right now.
Yeah. Like especially right now I'm taking like 20 credits. I'm overloading. Same. And it's like, okay, I have four other classes. Yeah. So like,
no, I can't.
Like, sorry.
Yeah. Because I'm doing the like dual degree with poli-sci and I'm just I can't just go to Newton right now and mm-hmm. cover the election, unfortunately. Like, I have three midterms.
Yeah. So. No, yeah. And, like, as professionals, like, we definitely could do that.
Yeah, because that would be our job.
Yeah. Like, of course, I have nothing else to do but my job. But, yeah, we just can't do that right now. And then especially, like, there's not that motivation coming back to the, like, validation consumption intrinsic sort of, like, feeling, I guess. Because if that was our job, if you were a journalist, you could go out and, you know, get your story, write your story. Get paid for your story. And people would read your story if you worked for, not a college publication. Not that people don't read college publication things, but, you know, when it's a class assignment, your professor will read it. He'll give you feedback and, you know, hopefully. But it's not the same.
Yeah.
When it's expected to be treated like a job, but it's a class assignment.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Like, I will write a ton of some stuff for my journalism classes, and I'll be like, dang, like, I wish I could do something with this. One thing I will say, like, I don't know too much about the, like, film, TV, radio, broadcasting side of comm, because that's not my niche, but with the FREEP, I think people should also get out of their heads that people don't read it. Or don't consume what you're making to a certain extent. Like, I know with the FREEP, at least last semester, it was widely consumed for a few, like, very specific reasons, one of them being, like, Ben Shapiro coming to campus. Their coverage of that was, like, very widely read. All the other college newspaper scandals with the Northwestern newspaper, the Harvard newspaper, the editor-in-chief of the FREEP, Haley Lerner, was, like, on NPR to talk about stuff that, like, being a college journalist, essentially.
Yeah.
Because the FREEP is such a widely respected newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
College newspaper. So, obviously, it's not the same, like, constituency as if you were reporting from the Boston Globe or the New York Times. But I think comm students should also be very aware of the fact that BU's College of Communications, like, College of Communication is one of the top five colleges of comm in the country, like, in the country. It is such a great comm school, and I'm not just saying this because it's like, oh, I'm in comm.
Yeah.
It's like, it is. And so people do consume us, our products. Like, I mean, this isn't about BU, but my really, Joe, who was the editor-in-chief when I was the executive editor, he goes to Northwestern, he studies journalism. My friend who goes to USC Snapchatted me yesterday because they were looking at Joe's article in their class. And, like, that stuff has to happen to BU students. Like, I am sure Daily Free Press articles are being pulled up to be, like, this is a good example of journalism at other schools. And the same with, like, BU TV 10 and, like, your primary midterm coverage. People are watching that. Other college students especially are watching that and being like, this is what we're aiming for. So even if it's not exactly the people you would want to be reading it or watching it or consuming it, at least, like, in terms of, like, colleges, like, I know people are looking up to BU.
And the other thing is with the FREEP, like, I knew about the FREEP before coming to BU. You know, I came in as journalism, a journalism major, that is. But
I was literally journalism.
I was journalism. No, but they just kind of leave their newspapers out.
They can, like, track online really well, I think.
Oh, really?
Obviously.
Oh,
but
true, true.
I'm sure with, like, their print, which is obvious, and they're going through stuff with print because they're not printing every week anymore, which is sad.
Oh, yeah.
I think, obviously, with print, that the print issue is almost exclusively read by BU students and faculty.
Yeah.
But online, it's a much different story. I'm sure, like, on their website it says I know they say how many people per month look at it, but they might even have, like, where people are looking at it from.
Yeah.
So,
do you have any closing thoughts?
I don't know. I don't want to sound too preachy, I guess, because I'm not going to, like, pretend like I'm in a position to be, like, giving advice. But I think I could use some advice, and if I maybe speak it onto a podcast, it'll be, like, there for me to listen to. So I guess this is, like, to me and, like, everyone else who's, like, in this position where they think that their art is, or what they're producing, is undervalued or underappreciated. It's, like, mostly about doing it to advance your own creativity, like, scope, also potentially just to, like, be building and building and building, so that when you do get out of college and you're looking for a job, even if for the last 4 years it hasn't been necessarily, like, people are like, wow, you're doing so much, you then come out with all of these things that you've done, and you can hand it to a future employer and be like, look at all the stuff I've done over these last 4 years. And to just be confident in your work and the where you're like your work can take you regardless of who sees it, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah,
it will definitely pay off in the end.
It will. I think it will, as long as you like have enough faith in like what you're making and enough conviction in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, thank you for joining me today, Zoe.
Of course, thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
I am now here with Carla Leung. She was previously in COM, but is now a student studying IR and CAS. So first off, Carla, I know that you were once a COM student in journalism and you have now transferred to CAS. And I also know that you were in the Daily Free Press for a very short period of time. So based on your experience in the Daily Free Press, I just wanted to ask you, what made you want to drop the Daily Free Press before you decided to switch your major at all?
I guess I just realized that I didn't just want to interview people. I definitely enjoyed interviewing people, but I also wanted to have more of a voice and like opinion on things. And I found myself gravitating more to like wanting to have an opinion or like wanting to like talk more like in interviews. And that was something I had to like train myself for. And just thinking about that, it got me thinking like, this is something I'll have to make a career out of. And if it's something that like I don't enjoy, and like I find myself wanting to like put myself out there and having an opinion and like having a voice, I don't think that's something as a journalist I would be able to do in terms of like being objective. And it's definitely, I think, not something that I would want as a career. And although I did find journalism like really interesting and I really liked being in the Daily Free Press when I was on it, my priorities and like the things that I seeked just didn't align the more that I like spent time on it. So
would you say it's more so a matter of your personal interest rather than the publication itself?
Yeah, definitely more of like my personal interest, because the Daily Free Press really allowed me to like explore what it meant to be a journalist, both the good and the bad, the stressful parts, the good parts of having to see like your name published online or in print, and like showing it to other people and like being proud of all the hard work that you put on it. But it also allowed me to see the really stressful environment of being a journalist and being put in situations where like people will reject you or deny you, and like pushing forward through that. So it definitely gave me like good skills and things that I learned from, but it just made me realize that it wasn't something I wanted in the long run. So
I want to talk a little bit more about like the publication itself. You mentioned that you felt like you were sometimes like, it comes with the business and being rejected or accepted for interviews by people. But in regards to the Daily Free Press itself and it being a campus-run publication, how did you feel working for that kind of publication, knowing the limitations of your audience, even though that was something that you wanted to share with the world?
How I felt in terms of like working with them, knowing my limitations. I don't think I ever really felt that way. At least I wasn't like not motivated by the fact that like maybe not a lot of people would see it. I mean, I would be happy if a lot of people would see it, and I know that the Daily Free Press publication does get like unique viewers like every month, so like people do comment on articles and people do spread it around, because I've also like with other like things in the Daily Free Press, after like writing for them, I would spread around like news articles and like things that I would see. And I do know that I've been like in contact with people that have been like reached out to because their name appears in the Daily Free Press, and like it's something that I think that it's not, they're not like irrelevant. And I think I never saw it as like, I don't know why I'm writing for this publication and then no one's gonna like see it anyway. Never felt that way. If anything, I felt like this was good experience for my resume and just like my publications list, because COM is very adamant on the fact that like get experience, get like clips, get articles out there, like, the more you have, the better. So even if it wasn't, like, being seen by the whole university, it was still like, okay, but this is still something that would work for me as a comm student, because when applying for internships, that's something that you need, something that's valued. So definitely, it was never, like, a negative thing.
Okay. So, yeah, I believe that that's true. You're definitely getting the experience in, and definitely trying to find a way to kind of get your foot in the door, if anything, even if it's not the most popular publication. But overall, I've heard other opinions that may disagree with this. So what would you think is the perspective that speaks most to comp culture in regards to having these publications, working really hard on these publications, and really putting a lot of your time into work like this, even though it's not going to be seen? Do you believe that this experience speaks to the culture of the college communication as a whole, or is it really just kind of something you have to take with your experience as a college student and gaining that practice?
I mean, I feel like a lot of work does get put into, like, comm clubs or comm-related, like, organizations, whether that be the Daily Free Press or, like, different clubs for, like, PR or for whatever organizations within comm. Because comm is such a very, like, practical and, like, hands-on experience sort of college, you do find yourself, like, putting in a lot of work after, like, class hours end. And I know a lot of people make fun of comm because of, like, the workload, but also, like, the after, like, class hours add up with comm. Like, yes, you may not have a lot of workload, but what makes up for that is that you have to, like, go out of your way to go to X part of the city to interview X amount of people for who knows how many hours. And, like, sometimes you'll be up super late working on an article, and that article may just be seen by a few amount of people, and things like that, like, is part of the culture of comm, and it has its negative sides because you're also not just taking comm classes, you're taking classes in CAS, classes for Hub, and juggling all that while not just for experience. You're basically volunteering yourself for a lot of things that take up time and that you don't get paid for, and that it really can be stressful because you're kind of you're basically a journalist, or you're doing something for PR, but you're not being paid, and it is for class, but at the same time, you spend so much time out of your day and just so much time that you're volunteering and effort and, like, losing so much sleep for something that you don't know, like, if it's all, not that it's all worth it, but that, like, either A, it's probably just going to be seen by your professor, or two, like, no one will even click on the article, or no one will really, like, see its relevance. Because, well, maybe I have, like, a biased opinion on how I see, like, the relevance of the Daily Free Press, because I was on it, and, like, I still go on it every now and then. But, like, a student that maybe doesn't really care may never even click on their website or know much about it. So that's my take on it.
So you mentioned a lot of, like, the stereotypes. So one, that comm students don't do a lot of work. Comm students really, but in reality, the truth is that they are doing the work. They are just getting more hands-on experience than people acknowledge while doing this work. So for them, a lot of the stereotype is, yeah, the work is easy for them, but in reality, it's kind of like, this is what they're good at and put themselves into. So what would you say, how would you say this culture differs from other colleges, and how would you say that your experience in kind of relating to that culture has changed after switching colleges?
Well, in comm, you don't really, like, get tested in the same way that you would get tested in CAS. You kind of get tested with, like, the experience that you bring to projects. Like, maybe, like, you have to work on, like, an article for the semester, or, like, an article for like several weeks, and then you get graded on that, and it's just like the culmination of like all your hard work and like days of like research and like going out there, while like in searching to say yes, it's less like practical experience that you're really like being tested on and seeing like how much you've acquired that, in the sense that like it's more like what have you learned, like if it's like a history class or if it's like an econ class, you're being like tested on like the lecture and like knowledge that's more like either like from a textbook or from like lecture or from like discussion, and it all just kind of adds up because it's less like practical, more like what's on paper, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That said, considering that they do have, I'm assuming you would say that they have very different teaching methods.
Yeah, I mean, CES is more like either like lecture or let's like talk about like, at least like as an IR major, it's more like discussing like back and forth ideas and like things like we think about like X topic or like whatever is going on in like the topic that we're discussing, while in comm it's more like I said, it's more practical. It's more like we're gonna go out this class and we are gonna do like we're gonna assign people to just like reach random people and interview them, and then you're gonna come back and then we're gonna talk about like how your interview went, what worked and what didn't. And it's more like hands-on experience that you don't get in like IR. Like in IR, you're not gonna like go to Mexico and like talk to people there and see like, oh, how are people feeling about like what's happening right now in the economy or in their political situation. And it's not like feasible. You can't have like a huge class of like people studying IR go to Mexico for like one thing that they're discussing, unless you're like studying abroad. But you know, comm is more, like I said, hands-on. It's rather than like being in class and like doing manual like work or like studying from a textbook, it's more like you're putting in like a lot of yourself into it and like getting out of the classroom.
Would you say that these different teaching methods cater to each subject properly, or would you say that one may be more effective than another? What is kind of your take in terms of how effective it is for you to learn in those different settings or in those different types of classes?
I feel like both have its like pros and cons. Sometimes like within comm, you learn a lot more like going out and like facing like the situation and realizing like what you have to do when like someone says they don't want to interview you, or like they are very picky about like what's included in the article. And in situations like that, you have to have a very like, you have to have a connection with your professor. You always have to be in contact with them and making sure that you're not just like lost in what you're doing. So I think comm definitely has like that connection where like you learn outside the classroom and you're figuring things out there most of the time, but you still like go back to your like professor or teacher and like kind of like reassess like what you've learned and like fill in the gaps there, while in like CAS, it's just a completely like different teaching method. It's, you're in the class, you're learning about the things, but you don't have any way of like going above that. You're just learning things, and it's hard to put things into like perspective sometimes, because it's very easy to like talk about history and like talk about like politics of another country and not like be there present and like learning as things are developing, because a lot of it is history too, and you can't go back in the past, so there's that.
Makes sense. So overall, I guess based on the fact that these are two very different teaching methods, you've noticed a change and a shift in culture when you transfer colleges. And just generally, the way you learn is very different now as compared as to how you learned in comm. Would you say your work ethic changed as well throughout this time, or has it remained the same?
I feel like I've had to shift my work ethic a little bit, just because, like, now I'm being, like, tested more frequently. Like, I have more midterms. I have to be more on top of myself in terms of, like, how often I, like, have to study, just because it's, like, it's hard to fit in, like, 6 weeks of, like, lectures and, like, discussion for, like, 3 to 4 classes than it is to, like, work on an article every single week that you then have to submit at the end of, like, the 4 weeks or, like, 2 to 3 weeks that you're working on it. It just kind of, like, for, like, journalism just kind of, like, builds up, and you're constantly working on, like, little projects every day. So, yeah, like, definitely, like, I say yes, it, you have to be on top of yourself. You have to have that time management and that discipline. Not saying that you don't, like, as a journalism major, but you do it in different ways. So
basically, you mentioned you have not only you have different work ethic for each one. Would you say it's a matter of how passionate you are about each subject, or would you think no matter how passionate you are about either subject, it would still be the same amount of effort that you would have to put into it in order to fully comprehend either or?
I feel like now, like, being an IR major and being CES, I feel like I put more effort. And I feel like while I was taking IR classes and in comm, I was putting more effort in my IR classes because I found it, like, very interesting. And I found it that I liked studying the material, and then sometimes just being in journalism, it felt like, ugh, like I have to, like, do, like, an article in, like, 2 days, or just have a very strict deadline. And just the whole, like, deadline thing about being in journalism was, it's just very stressful. And I feel like the stress for some people might be, like, exhilarating or, like, an adrenaline rush, or, like, that's something that they can handle, but I feel like it became something I didn't enjoy. It became something that I felt like I had to, like, drag myself to finish, and I just didn't end up enjoying it. So I guess, like, my work ethic didn't, it was definitely more favorable to IR. So
even though you would say you had to put in more work, you favored IR more,
yeah,
in the end. Okay. So this might be a little bit of an odd transition, but I also want to talk more a little, like, about the point, quote unquote, of getting a comm degree. So again, we mentioned stereotypes, and you just mentioned how even though it was also a matter of lack of disinterest, there was also the point where you're not studying for as many exams, you're just working on a regular deadline basis. What would you say to a student who is kind of questioning, like, this point of a comm degree, or maybe questioning whether or not it may be worth it in the end, considering that you did switch out after all?
The reason why, like, I switched out, just to, like, so I can further elaborate on your point, wasn't just because I found that I, like, liked IR more than journalism. It was more because I felt like I had more avenues to explore than if I majored with a journalism degree. Like, if I still wanted to be a journalist after switching, I could. It would just be a matter that I would need to show that I have, like, that specialization communication, or that I had a very strong, like, foundation of communication. If I applied to, like, journalism jobs, and, you know, like, having that repertoire of, like, articles, clips, and, like, stuff like that, because I feel like journalism is more, like, resume based, kind of like what you've done, like, show me your resume, show me what articles you've worked on, and something feasible. And while, like, the major does give you the good tools to get that and become like experienced and like a good journalist, I feel like majoring in journalism itself is not always just the best option. A lot of people choose to dual degree or like minor, because I feel like journalism, there's only one route you can take, I think. Either major something in communications or do what most people do, just go through, did I say major? Okay, they can take a different route and like do something within the communications field or become a journalist. And I feel like those are like kind of like the only options, at least the only options I saw for myself. And with like that degree, like I feel like you can't do much besides that. But if you want to do something within like the international field, you can do IR, and you can also be like a journalist specializing in like IR and like foreign policy and stuff like that. And there are just more options available for me. So if you're someone that's not like 100% sure on like whether you want to become a journalist, I feel like for me, you could still major in something else and still become a journalist. It's just a matter of like what experience do you have, and like you can get that experience because not all like the Fulbrighters are journalism majors. There are Eng majors, there are other majors within CES too that write for it. There are also like English majors, so it's not, you can get that experience or that hands-on experience without being a journalism major. So I guess that's where I'm like coming from.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think that's all the questions I have.
I hope this episode was able to shine some light on the comm culture and the work ethic that is required by the College of Communication here at Boston University. I'd also like to thank Carla Leon and Zoe Allen for coming on this episode. And I would like to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Common Thread Podcast. Thank you.